heralded the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are, coming to you live from a top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is the talk show Hell Hates. And the more you listen, especially today, the more you know why. We were talking about recognizing patterns. And the video clip that I was showing before I actually begin talking was from the presentation that I did last month's Monday night, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Had some great meetings there. It was great to meet God's people. The excitement on their face is what I love. Excuse me. I love catching a cold in the spring, and I love seeing God's people respond to the Word of God. When it goes into them and they hear things that they know is true, they recognize truth when they hear it. They know their shepherd's voice, and they recognize the truth that they're hearing. When I was talking about the Fibonacci sequence to them, I was trying to make it as simple as possible, but that signature on everything in creation, and I've been watching videos yesterday on the Fibonacci sequence in nature and so on, and it's like everywhere. And but to see the reaction of people when they hear truth coming to them from the Word of God, that's what I love. I love seeing the people respond to that. And so this is why I do Pastor Mike Online here in my padded cell. I don't get to see anybody's face, but I know you're responding. I know you're recognizing truth when you hear it. And we're going to look at patterns today, because God designed our brains to be able to recognize patterns, things that happen often enough with some sort of common bond, something that ties them all together, and something that when you understand what it is that ties them together, you know, coming from the Bible, you know it's true. You recognize it. Sometimes when our enemy's kingdom does their work, they do it in recognizable ways. It is wise to know your enemy. It is wise to not be ignorant of Satan and his devices. It is wise to know from the scripture how the devil operates and how these devils operate. They are beasts. They are represented in the scripture as things like dragons and lions and owls and satyrs and things like that. They're represented that way in the scriptures. And I believe that. I believe that that's how God created them. And we know that if you study a little bit of the animal kingdom here on this earth, you recognize that animals do things in ways that are recognizable. My father taught me some of the skills of deer hunting. And normally I can point out to you a place where more than likely deer are going to show up. And it's not really like a sixth sense or anything like that, but you just, after having done it for so long and I trusted my father who was teaching me these things, I can point to you and say, if you sit right here, you're going to see a deer right over there. This time of year, the crappie are spawning, and my dad always knew when the crappie were going to spawn, where they were going to, he loved crappie fishing, and I did too. That's the only kind of fishing I like. You get into a bed of crappie, and you just pull them up one after another. Just jerk that line and pull them things up. And I like that kind of fishing. I don't like the kind of fishing where you go out and sit for hours throwing something in, trying to catch a 14-foot-long bass, and you never catch anything. That That doesn't get me. I like to just pull them in. Just, hey, there's another one. Here's another one. So anyway, but my dad always knew where the crappie were going to be. He always knew where deer were going to be. He always knew these things because his daddy taught him and he taught me. And it's because deer operate in recognizable patterns. When you go out in the woods, you're looking for hoof prints. You're looking for scrapes where these buck deer will scrape their horns up against trees to get that velvet off of it and to shine them up real good, get them all nice and purdy for the doe, because it's going to be season. Rubs in the ground, where deer will rub in the ground. They'll remove leaves off the surface of the earth, get to the dirt, and then lick that dirt, because there's minerals in that dirt that they need. So you recognize those patterns. You recognize those signs. You look for them. And the Bible is full of places that will teach you how to spot Satan's signs, how to follow his hoof prints, how to know that he did the things that he did, because the Bible gives you symbols and it teaches you the interpretation of those symbols. Like, in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is teaching the parable of the seed and the sower, he's defining for you what seed is, what it represents. That's the Bible. That's the Word. It's DNA. He says the fowl of the air come and consume it. Well, then he says Satan cometh and immediately taketh away the word that was sown in them. And so we get this idea that fowls of the air in the Bible represent spirits. You know, they fly. Angels have wings. And so anyway, you get this, you start learning these things and you learn how your enemy, the devil, and his kingdom operates. Certain symbols, certain numbers. Certain numbers. Numbers in the Bible that point to Satan. Numbers like the number 5. Why the number 5? Isaiah 14. We'll read that here in a little bit. The number 6. I mean, well, okay, that's obvious. The beast number is 603, scored 6. But what does that number 6 mean? The number 7. Because the beast has 7 heads. The number 10. He has 10 horns. What does that mean in the Bible? The number 13 is another one where you can say, well, traditionally, 13 is an unlucky number. Okay, that's tradition, but what does the Bible say? It gives you Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. That's 13 words in Revelation 17. And the Bible, the King James, just splashes it out at you. Puts that name in all capital letters. It jumps, and you open up to that page, and that's the first thing you're going to see is those 13 words, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. Then you think about Jericho, a foreshadow of Babylon, because Jericho was compassed 13 times, 6 times, 1 time a day for 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day. That's 13. So 13 related to Babylon, related to the beast in some way, or Satan in some way, false prophets. Revelation 13, Deuteronomy 13, Acts chapter 13, Hosea chapter 13. All of those chapters deal with the false prophet and or the beast in some way. Then we have the number that is significant today. It is the number 11. And May 1st is a day. It is the 121st day of the year. Now, if you get your calculator out, these humongous microcomputers that we have, amazing things, and type in 11, multiply it by 11, and you get 121. And today is the 121st day of the year. It is May Day. It is, let's say that May 1st is a day significant to the Illuminati. and their music. You gotta have the music. And when I say the Illuminati, who am I talking about? I don't know. I didn't go to the meetings. I didn't see who was there. Are there people in the world that are actively promoting a world government, a world currency, a world religion, uniting all the nations in the world, coming together as one? Are there people who are actively involved in promoting that? Yes. I would absolutely say yes. And they are in every walk of life. They are politicians, they are businessmen, they are clergymen. They are scholars, professors, you name it. Just because they may not belong to a group called the Illuminati, that doesn't mean that they're not working for the aim and the goal of the Illuminati. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that there is a course that this world is going on. And you and I used to be involved in that course. Ephesians 2:2 says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That's who Beelzebub is. That is who Baal is. That is who Belial is. That's who the dragon is. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the like a flying dragon, fiery flying serpent. And the Bible describes him in that verse as the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Children of disobedience, my friend, is not some super secret Illuminati bloodline that comes down from the Nephilim. The children of disobedience, the seed of the serpent, is everybody in this world that's lost and are going to hell. You are either a child of the Most High God or you're a child of Belial. You're a child of disobedience. There's no third group for everybody else. It's either one or the other. In the Battle of Armageddon, the very last thing that happens before the 1,000 year reign, there are two armies. Not three, not four. There are two armies. There is the army of the living God, Jesus Christ being the captain of the host, riding his white horse with 10,000s of his saints coming with him. And then we have the serpent, the dragon, the beast, and his false prophet and all of his armies with him. And it's not even going to be a contest. They're going to be immediately destroyed with no loss of life on the part of the 10,000s of God's saints. They've already died and been resurrected. Amen. So anyway, there is no third group. If people are lost and they don't believe what God said in His Word, there is a spirit that works in them called the spirit the spirit that works within the children of disobedience. They're part of the Illuminati. The New World Order. May 1st comes around. Does it every year. The 121st day of the year. It is 11 times 11. We're going to look at the significance of that number along with this day in history. And we're going to uncover patterns. We're going to uncover patterns. We're going to see sequences of events that have taken place that have a common denominator, a common bond, a common symbol related to them. And that symbol today is the number 11 and what it stands for. Do you remember this image in history? Bum, bum, bum. May 1st, 2003. Now, George Bush has come out and said that he actually regretted making this speech with that banner. Mission accomplished. We had just barely begun the war in Iraq. And for some reason, Bush had to fly out on the USS Abraham Lincoln. If I remember right, the number for that particular ship, you know, every naval ship has a number. And if I remember right, the number for that ship is 72. 72 is a significant number in occult numerology. It is a very, and it has an explanation in the Bible. We're not going to talk about that today. But anyway, why does he have to fly out to this particular ship on this day and declare mission accomplished? You might suggest, even though there's nothing in his speech that says, on today we're establishing a new world order. I don't think there was anything like that. I don't think there was anything in his words that indicated that we're bringing forth and giving birth to a Novus Ordo Seclorum, or anything like that. But he goes out in the symbolism of this particular day to declare victory of this sort of Pax Americana, something that JFK spoke about, and he didn't want it. He didn't want America ruling the world like Rome did. But it seemed like the agenda at the time that America, and that was part of the whole skull and bones ideology, that America was the best nation in the world, therefore it should be us who should rule over everybody else and bring in a new world order. And I think that that thinking was in George Bush's mindset. But he goes out and he has to, on this specific day, declare victory over his enemies on May 1st. Okay? Now, the next picture that I'm going to show you is, I'm going to warn you right now that there is an image of a woman who has hanged herself. Now, I have covered up her face. But on May 1st, I think it was 2008, I'm going to go ahead and show you the image. I'm just warning people in case you don't want, you know, I'll let you look at it before you let your child see it or somebody else, all right? Let me get to it here. On May 1st, 2008, Deborah Palfrey, I spelled her name wrong. It's P-A-L-F-R-E-Y. They found her dead, hanging, in her mother's shed. Now, she was known, Deborah Palfrey was known as the DC Madam. And she ran a very sort of high society type madam service in Washington, D.C. She was a Mystery Babylon Mother of Harlots woman. She had all of her girls, and she had a list of people in high ranking positions. At least one congressman that we know of admitted to using her services. An American congressman. Okay? And there are links, there are conspiracy theories and so on about her. One of the significant, now, at some point, she must have really tripped somebody's trigger. Now, this woman, you got to understand, she's got a list of names, phone numbers, addresses of high-ranking, very powerful people in Washington, D.C. She has their names on a list because they have used her service. And you need to understand how places like Washington, D.C. or New York City or Los Angeles work. People from other countries here want to do business with America. We want their business. So we invite them to Washington, D.C. I say we, I'm talking about people in our government, invite them over, put them up in a high-class, high-society-type condominium or hotel room or beach house or whatever. And then, as a incentive to these representatives, somebody makes a phone call to a woman like Deborah Palfrey and says, send me three white gals and Filipino, one Asian, one black gal over to this address. We've got some guys over there, okay? We want to do business with them. You're gonna, we'll pay the bill. You take good care of them. Now, if you don't think that happens, I personally know a man that I have been friends with for years who was ranked as an high school athlete. I won't tell you what sport, but as a high school athlete, he was ranked 5th in the nation. And he told me, Mike, I could have gone to any college that I wanted in America. He said, they all were calling me. They wanted me to play sports for their school. And he said, I would get a limousine to pick me up and take me over to some university somewhere. They would show me the campus. They would give me a room to sleep in and say, would you like a companion for the evening? He said, I was offered everything. These universities. Well, it happens. So here is a woman, and she's got a list of all these high-ranking people in Washington, D.C. I don't know who she upset. She made somebody very angry. And so they decided that they're not going to use her anymore, and they're going to go after her on racketeering charges, mail fraud, and you name it. And they find her guilty. Now, before sentencing, Deborah Palfrey did an interview with Alex Jones, of all people. And Alex asked her the, you know, $30 million question. Is there any chance that you're going to commit suicide? And she said, I want everybody to know right now that I have no desire to end my life. I'm going to fight this thing. I have the list that I have distributed to very secretive people who, if anything happens to me, they're going to let this list out on the internet. And she said, I have no desire to end my life whatsoever. And a week later, on May 1st, 2008, they found her hanging. Now, you're looking at this image, and the one next to it is that of a man who is going through the Blue Lodge of Freemasonry, the third level initiation. He is Hiram Abiff. He comes in blindfolded. And he has one sleeve rolled up, one sleeve rolled down. Are you looking at the picture? I mean, look at this. Let me get my little circle deal here. Let me get my pen. Are you seeing this? She has one sleeve rolled up, one sleeve down. In Masonry, they do that. And this, you may not be able to see it very well. This guy's got what's called a cable toe around his neck. It's a threefold cord. That idea comes right out of the Bible. Threefold cord is not easily broken. He represents the hanging God, the God who has been hung, like Quetzalcoatl, or Odin. Odin was sacrificed hanging on a tree. So was Quetzalcoatl. And the one sleeve rolled up, one sleeve down, you'll see the pant leg. One pant leg rolled up, one pant leg down. One half of his chest covered, the other half of his chest bare. What does he represent? He represents polar opposites. He represents Baphomet. He represents naked and clothed at the same time. He represents male and female at the same time, or yin and yang. And when I saw her on first of all days, May 1st, with the emblems of Masonry on her body being hung on this particular day, I thought there's got to be a connection. I don't think that's just me thinking. I don't think she hung herself. I think she had help. And I think that they left their mark at the scene of the crime. But why May 1st? Why May 1st? Why did Barack Hussein have to come out on May 1st to let everybody know? And what year was it? 2011. Remember, we're dealing with the number 11 and what it represents. So you have this event, May 1st, 2003, May 1st, 2008, May 1st, 2011. Significant things happening on these particular days. And in 2011, they announce, we killed bin Laden. We got him, and we're going to dump his body overseas so that nobody gets upset with us. And I'm just going, you idiots. You have the body of the most hated man in the world, and you're going to tell everybody in the world that you killed him, but there are very, very few people alive on this earth right now who actually saw the body. And there's different conspiracy theories about the SEAL team that went in and killed bin Laden. But why this date, May 1st, 2011, why was it the 121st day of the year in the 11th year of the new millennium? Why on this particular date? But it carries a common, there's a common theme here, a common symbol being portrayed here. By the way, May 1st is a holy day, or a Shabbat in Wicca or paganism. It's referred to as Beltane, the fire festival. And there are all kinds of very sordid, very wicked, very disgusting. If you're a born-again Christian, they disgust you. If you're not, you're going, where are these? But it's what's known as a cross-quarter day. Sort of the midday between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. So you have, in that idea, you have the fusion of opposites. By the way, you have the coming together of the horned god, Cernunnos, Cern, and the triple goddess. Now, I'll explain that in a little bit. But Beltane is associated with fire festivals and so on, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But what does the word Beltane mean? It has Baal's name in it. It literally means the fires of Baal. Baal is Bel, or Belial, or Beelzebub. And again, it represents the center point of the spring equinox and summer solstice. It shows fusion. Two halves joining together. Two opposite. Now go back to this. Two opposites fused together on the 121st day of the year. Because that's what you have represented. That's what the pagans do. They take two things that are opposite and they fuse them together. Do you get what I'm saying to you? I just, I'm playing a video by a Wiccan from, she sounded like she had a British or Scottish accent. And she was explaining then what everybody needs to do on Beltane on this particular day. And I was listening to it, putting some other things together. I was listening to her talk about her and her boyfriend and how, oh, it's just great on this day because we're going to do what people do on Beltane. We're going to get together and, you know, that's the way she talked. Just nonchalantly. If you find somebody, do it with them. That's what Beltane's all about. And she said, this is one of the most fun holy days that they have. Because you get to fornicate a lot on this particular day. That's what it's all about. Name Bel in the Bible, Isaiah 46:1. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. Jeremiah 50:2, declare ye among the nations, and publish and set up a standard, publish and conceal not, say Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Very interesting verse. Bel is, the term confounded means he's confused. There's some things he doesn't understand. His mind is darkened. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. Jeremiah 51, 44, and I will punish Bel in Babylon. He's talking about Baal. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. Think of that exact phrase used to describe what the great fish did to Jonah. Jonah was swallowed up. Think of death being swallowed up in victory. Woo! Here's my cheers. There we go. Who's laughing? Anyway, I will punish Bel in Babylon. I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Remember what I said about Jericho? The walls. Jericho's a pre-foreshadowing of what happens to Babylon in the last days. But Bel and or Baal mentioned significantly, especially throughout the Old Testament. And this image of building large fires. There is an imagery associated with Beltane and with Baal itself that is seen right in the scriptures. Jeremiah 19:5, they have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Now, I'm not one of these. I want you to understand me. I'm not one of these that says, if you have a bonfire of any type, you're worshiping Satan. Okay? I don't believe that. You shouldn't let anybody convince you of that. Having a fire pit, sitting around a fire, is one of the most relaxing things that I know how to do. I love it. I love the smell of a campfire. Smells and odors always bring back memories. And when you smell a campfire, you think back. I think back of times me and my dad spent together in deer season. I'm not one of these that says if you build a fire on May 1st or October 31st, you're worshiping Satan. Get real. Get real and get out of your legalism. But the symbolism of Beltane fires that are built specifically in reverence to this particular cross-quarter day, this holy day, there are people who literally will worship Baal or a god similar to Baal by using fires. In the old days, they would cast their sons and or their daughters into those fires. God said, I never told you to do that. You know, you think about this. There's one religion in the world where the God provided his own sacrifice. Every other religion in the world, the God or the gods require us to provide the sacrifice. You see what I'm getting at? Bible Christianity is the only true, pure religion where God himself sacrifices for man, not the other way around. Not man to sacrifice. God is the one who did the sacrifice. Jeremiah 7, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal? Walk after other gods whom you knew not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? But they were burning to Baal. Jeremiah 7:11, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? This is all the same chapter in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7, 8, 9, and 10. And now Jeremiah 11:12, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Remember what Jesus said when he found the money changers. My house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord, but go ye now into my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people in Israel. By the way, do you know how many times the name Shiloh is mentioned in the King James Bible? 33. Exactly. And Shiloh is a name for Christ in Genesis 49. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And to him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh was Jesus. And Shiloh's mentioned 33 times, and Shiloh is destroyed. Think about Christ. Christ is their rest, or their resting place. He was 33 years old, and he was crucified. It's just a beautiful image of Jesus Christ there. Romans 11:4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I reserve to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. There are still people out there to be reached, brothers and sisters. Yes, the world is getting far more wicked than we're comfortable with, but there's still people. God is using wickedness and the growing wickedness of this world to bring people to the cross. I see it all the time. I love it. I love it when I hear from people who say, Pastor, we were out in those sins. We were out doing those things that you talk about. God brought us back. We went out and bought a King James Bible. We read it every day. I listen, that blesses my heart. I love it. The Maypole. Let's hear some music on that. Let's get some Maypole music on that. What is that? Well, the Wiccan, she could have been like 17, 18 years old, this gal, already so well versed in Wiccan theology. She may have been older than that. I don't know. But anyway, I'm listening to her and she's talking about the Maypole. Because that's what it is. It is similar to the obelisk. The obelisk has Baal's name in it. And it's Baal's pole. The male pole. And the ribbons represent the female. I'm not going to use the language that she used, but she said the ribbons represent the female. And they're joined together. We take a look at it. All over Europe, all over in America, public schools, who they say, there's a separation of religion and government in America, and so we don't want Christianity in our schools, and yet they'll do Maypoles, which is practicing a religious practice, especially up in the northern states, the United States. They'll have all these girls twining this. And by the way, what are they doing with those ribbons? What does that look like? Dun, 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 dun. Daniel 2:43, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. They shall mingle themselves with what? The seed of men, DNA. Now, of the pole as Baal, think of the ribbons as the seed of man, joined together. May 1st, the 121st day of the year, multiples of 11. 11 stands for something. The number 11 represents a concept all throughout the scriptures. And on this particular day of Beltane, all the Wiccans, all the pagans, they will tell you the same. It represents the marriage. It represents a sacred marriage, a sacred, holy, ceremonial, ritualistic marriage of the yin and the yang, of the positive and the negative, of the iron and the clay. Your bonfires. Revelation 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose the smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. When Abraham looked toward Sodom, what he saw was the great smoke coming up as the smoke of a great furnace. Hell unleashed on Sodom. Big time. And so these huge bonfires, and there will be some, there may have been some lit last night in anticipation of May 1st or tonight itself. But in areas where pagans gather, they will be building these humongous fires that are a representation of the kingdom that they serve. The kingdom that they serve is hell itself. It is the bottomless pit, or the abyss, or the other word for it is chaos. May 1st, 121st day of the year, 11 times 11, it's the marriage day of the horned god, Cern, or Cernunnos, and the triple goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, or wise woman, whose symbol is the triquetra. If you, by the way, where have you seen the triquetra before? New King James Version of the Bible. When I first saw that symbol, I've never seen this before. Where does it come from? And I wanted to know what the symbolism was of the triquetra. And I'm reading in that New King James Bible, it says, from Thomas Nelson, the triquetra is an ancient symbol representing the Trinity or the Godhead, and it represents three united together in one. But the book of Acts says we ought not think that the Godhead can be graven with art and man's device. So we have the Bible telling us there is not ever a symbol for the Trinity, and we have Thomas Nelson saying the triquetra is a symbol for the Trinity. Who are you going to believe? You have to believe what God said. And so whoever wrote that on behalf of Thomas Nelson Publishers was lying through their teeth. So that symbol does not represent the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It does represent something else. A trinity of a different kind. Dragon. Beast. False prophet. You see it? Dragon, beast, false prophet, and those three united together in one in the form of the beast. The beast who has been given the dragon's power, seat, and great authority. Three things. He is the man of sin, which is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so now you're looking at that symbol differently. When I mentioned the triple goddess, what that means is those who worship the feminine deity worship her as a trinitied goddess. She is in one aspect a maiden or a virgin who is being readied for her marriage. She is also heralded as the mother because by means of procreation, she can produce life and give life. Then she is regarded as crone, aged woman, or, you know, an old bat, an old hag, an old witch, right? But this aged woman is supposed to be wise and all-knowing and all-seeing, and she has all the secrets of the mystery doctrines and how to cast spells for this and how to make people fall in love and how to mix potions, and she's like Endora on Bewitched. She's the old crone who always knows the best magic to perform. That's how she's worshipped. So this triple goddess and Cern joining together, this is the date of their marriage on Beltane. This is why the young ladies in their pretty dresses winding, wrapping the DNA strands around the maypole. It's joining the fourth kingdom and Baal with the seed of men. Now, all of these things together, Do we believe that there are conspiracies? Do we believe there was a conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy November 22nd, 11-22, the 11th month? 22 is a multiple of 11. When you add them together, you get 33. That's a multiple of 11. Do we believe that location was? Do we believe that his age had anything to do with it? By the way, he was 46. What highway was he fixing to be on? Highway 77. That's where the triple underpass connects to Interstate 77. 77. Get ready for this one. Highway 77 connects Oklahoma City, Dealey Plaza, and Waco, Texas together. Branch Davidian compound. Oklahoma City, Alfred P. Murrah building. Triple overpass, JFK assassination. Waco, Texas, Branch Davidian compound. The same highway, 77, connecting all of these places. The license plate on the limousine that Kennedy was in carried the letters GG. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Seventh letter on that license plate. Is there significant evidence, if you know the nature of symbolism, can you look and at least suppose, even if you don't have absolute proof, can you look and at least suppose that there was some sort of conspiracy? What about Ronald Reagan? The date that he was shot. Was it, let's see, March? Yeah, March 30th? 3:30? On longitude 77 in Washington, D.C. Same as Highway 77. Same number pops up. Just to give you a little background, John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot Ronald Reagan, do you know who his father was? John Hinckley Sr. Duh. Come on, that was funny. Oh, did you know that John Hinckley Sr. and family were best friends with the George Bush family? I mean, close, personal, oil business friends. With the George Bush family. Dun, dun, dun. Right? I mean, who knows? I believe in conspiracies. I believe in Bible conspiracies. I believe in this one. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So, here's what he did. Thou hast set in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will and think about him, Lucifer, taking the place of the church. Will the church ascend into heaven? Yes. Will the church be exalted above the angels of God, the stars of God? Yes, we'll be judging angels, Paul said. Will the church, do we have a place at the mount of the congregation in Zion, which is in the sides of the north? Yes. Will we ascend above the heights of the clouds? Yes. Will we be made in the image of Jesus Christ, the Most High God? The answer is yes. So look at what Lucifer wants. He wants to take that which belongs by grace to the church. It belongs to us. So, the word church in your King James Bible is mentioned exactly 77 times. That excuse is easy. But this is the conspiracy. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will, seven words, I will be like the Most High. 2 Thessalonians says the man of sin will exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So that's a conspiracy that I can point to and say, yes, that's what I believe in. Because I used to be really puzzled. Was it who was it? Who is it that's running the show? Is it the Council on Foreign Relations? Is it the Illuminati? Is it the Bilderberg Commission? Is it the Council of 300? Is it the Roman Catholic Church? Is it the Freemasons? Is it the Mormon Church? I mean, the list goes on of all the different agencies that everybody says they're the ones running the show. Well, who is running the show? The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's the one. But God is ahead of him. God is controlling him. But he doesn't realize it. Satan doesn't realize it. And so this is the conspiracy that I believe in. And anything that happens in this world that is significant, and if you're able to find the symbolisms here, then realize that it is possible that whatever event took place is part of what the Bible is saying is going to happen. The word conspiracy, literal interpretation, winds that blow together. Con means with, spira is breath. It implies spirits that work together secret for a common cause. Remember mystery, Babylon the Great. Everything she does is a mystery. It's not recorded. It's not written down anywhere. The idea of conspiracy and wind and blowing is the idea that you get close to someone in their ear and you whisper a secret in their ear so that they can hear it. You're doing it with your breath. But I think it also includes the idea of spirits working. Because, I mean, think about it. On some of these events, like 9/11, how does this all work together perfectly if it's just men doing it? I mean, even the best of Hollywood's production designers. Production designer is someone who designs the look of a certain movie. And in a certain scene, the production designer has set everything up so that everything happens exactly according as planned for the film. And anybody in Hollywood will tell you that very rarely happens in one take. We forgot to turn the wind on. Turn the wind on now this time. So they do the scene again. And this time the rain's not falling. Where's the rain? We've got to have the rain here. So there's all kinds of theories out there about what happened on 9/11. But who's really in charge of it? The prince of the power of the air. Whatever information comes up about it, to me, it's got to fall in the parameters of the Bible. Did the prince of the power of air do this? Did he leave his mark? Did he leave his signature? Is there something that is connecting this event to something in Bible prophecy? So here we have the numbering of his conspiracy. Five. Five things that he said, I will, I will, I will. And it sounds like a teenager when you tell them to do stuff and they're going, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Do I believe the satanic conspiracy involves world governments and governmental agencies? Absolutely. Do I believe that this conspiracy involves media, such as movies, television shows, music, news coverage, advertising? Why, yes. Yes, I do. And I base it upon scripture. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I want you to think about how our nation got changed from in the 50s when there was a common decency to the 70s in just 10 to 15 years. Was, let's say, between 1955 and 1970. In 15 years' time, what happened to our nation? Everything that could go wrong went wrong in those 15 years. Did television mold and shape the mindset of Americans? The answer is yes. And there is zero doubt in my mind that it happened that way. Because of the music, because of the television shows. And I, every now and then I'll go back and watch Laugh-In from the 60s, right? This is back when censorship didn't allow certain things to be said on television. If you go back and watch Laugh-In from 1968, you will blush. You'll be embarrassed because you're going, did they really talk this way back then? It was like groundbreaking television. But it was allowed. And I can remember as a child, my mom and dad would not let me watch Laugh-In. And this was before they started going to church. They would not let me watch Laugh-In when it came on television because that was too adult for me. And look at where we are now. But our whole nation changed 15 years' time as a direct result of transistor radio and television. Televisions being small enough to be able to put into a child's room. Now they can watch things that they shouldn't never watch. And it's worse now, kids have the internet. Teenagers, teenage children being allowed access, unrestricted access to the whole of the internet, that is... Yeah. Anyway, most large corporations, especially financial and technology companies, religious denominations, including Christian ministries. Yes, sir, Bob. Let me go through some of this here. We have the Illuminati, those who work behind the scenes who are eliminated to the secret plan. We have the initiates, those working in various groups who are not given the truth of the plan. We have the masses, the unwitting people, the sheeple, as it were. But the truth of it is, all of these groups, all of them are deceived. I do not believe for a minute that the upper echelons of any secret society actually know the real truth behind whatever conspiracy that they're a part of. The Bible says that they are deceived and deceiving. They believe a lie too. They don't think it's a lie. They think it's the truth, but they believe it nonetheless. And they themselves are deceived. Now, some of them may actually know that they're worshiping Satan, Lucifer. I get that part. But they actually think, because Satan told them, they actually think they can win this thing. And that they are deceived. They're not going to win. It's not going to happen. Phrases like New World Order, New Age, New Level, Next Level, Higher Level. take a look at this logo here. What do you see? There's an 11 here and one here. And there is an 11 right here. Right there. There's three 11s in this logo. What do you get? You get 33. Matt Hall said symbols have two meanings. Fat Albert Pike. Symbols have two meanings, the esoteric and the exoteric. The esoteric meaning was the true and original meaning, understood by only a few and closely guarded by them. The exoteric meaning was the invented or modified explanation intended for the many or the masses. The sacred mysteries, which are often mentioned in connection with many ancient religions and which were closely guarded by the initiate, concerned esoteric meanings in the religions of previous times. So they're saying that any symbol will have multiple meanings. And that's the point of it. It's like the Bible verse concerning the strange woman. Her ways are movable, but thou canst not know them. So whatever a symbol means to one person, it may mean something different to another, and that's the point of symbols. Is that there is no static meaning for any symbol except how the Bible identifies it. It's the only thing that doesn't change. Fat Albert Pike said Masonry, like all the religions, stop right here. If you got into a conversation with someone about the religion of Freemasonry, and they said, well, Masonry's not a religion. They're lying. Let's see. They have a hymn book at the Masonic Lodge. Did you know that? They have a hymn book. Did you know that they have a Bible in the Masonic Lodge? You might have known that. The Masonic Lodge, they get together and they have a prayer. Did you know that? And they have a ritualistic service. Did you know that? That's a religion. It's not a popcorn festival, is it? It's a religion. And Albert Pike admitted it. He said, Masonry, like all the religions, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages or the elect. Albert Pike thinks he's part of the elect. And uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled. So in other words, you're going to a religious temple to hear a lecture from your Masonic brother who has sworn an oath that when he gives you the meaning of a certain symbol in Masonry, he is lying through his teeth. And you're okay with that. You're fine. All that. Yeah, you lie to me all you want to. I don't care. It's like a lot of churches nowadays. Deliberately lying through their teeth to people. And the place is full every Sunday. Pastors throwing their wives away, having affairs. And the church is all, we're behind you, Pastor. We're for you 100%. Lying through their teeth to people. And the people just eating it up. Church is full every Sunday. So Masonry basically says, here's a symbol. We're going to tell you what it means, but we lied to you. Because we're not really going to tell you what it means, because we don't tell anything. All of those books, the Masonic House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C., 7, 8, 10,000 volumes, Masonic books, Hermetic books, Rosicrucian books, books on every subject that deal with mystery religions. And you can go and read every, because I thought, well, they'll never let some guy like me come in here and read them. It's a public library. You got to fill out information, get approved. But you, once you do, you can go in there. You don't have to be a Mason. You can read every stinking book they got in there. Because they know that no one wrote the secret down. And whatever explanation they're giving you in there, they're lying to you. Their whole purpose is to conceal the truth. I'm reading again, which it calls light from them and to draw them away from it. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it or would pervert it. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, what I speak in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Tell everybody. Jesus took his, Jesus took his disciples. He sat them down. Mark chapter 4, Matthew 13, he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries. But Mark and Matthew and Luke, they all three wrote down everything that Jesus said. Because Jesus never intended to hide or conceal the truth from everybody. He wanted everybody to know, and he wanted his own people to know, but he knew that at that time they weren't going to understand it. They weren't going to receive it. So he says to us Gentiles, unto you is given to know the mysteries. But to them, they're supposed to fall backward anyway. Dun, dun, dun. Think about that. By the way, Albert Pike was one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. Where in the world did he get that name from? Ku Klux. Sound like something related to chicken. Cluck, cluck, Klan! By the way, K is an 11. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. Anyway, K is the number 11. Three Ks in Ku Klux Klan is three 11s. Or 33. Does that make sense now to know that Albert Pike was part of that? Okay? So the meaning behind the number 11. We go to Genesis 11. We go to the 11th. You know, I was going to look someplace else too before the show, and I ran out of time. I woke up this morning realizing it was May 1st, and I went, I got to talk about this. Anyway, Genesis 11 gives you the meaning of the number 11. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land. And you know what they said? The plain! The plain! That was pretty funny. They found a plain! They found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, and think about it, a plain is a low place, a valley. It's the opposite of heaven, like it's up on a mountain. You see the opposites here? They found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. They had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. What famous organization works with brick and mortar? Masons. Freemasons. In verse 4, and they said, Masonry claims that it can trace its roots back to the builders of the Tower of Babel and the secret doctrine or the secrets that they had for building this tower and this city. So verse 4, they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, God's going to do that anyway. The Lord came down to see the city, the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, by the way, I counted the words that God said here. It's 50 words. I don't know the meaning of it. You might. It's something that you might click and you go, da, 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 I know what that means. Anyway, you can check me out, make sure I did it right. But it looks to me like God said 50 words to the people here in Genesis 11. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. I just thought of something. God saying 50 words here, if he did. The day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days. The whole idea behind Pentecost is God is undoing what he did here at the Tower of Babel. In the Tower of Babel, God is confusing the languages so that nobody can understand anything. In in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days, God is giving all these men the gift of speaking in the known languages of the people so that everybody could understand his kingdom. So that, to me, a possible connection between the number of words God speaks here, 50. You know, I keep saying it. I better check it out again. We're going to do it live. We're going to prove Pastor Mike is right or wrong. Live! From his padded cell. Verse 6, the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So I highlight that. If you look down or press Control D, there's exactly 50 words there. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So it's pretty interesting. 50 words here, God confounding the languages of man. 50 days from Christ, the Holy Spirit comes down to undo the curse of Babel. Isn't it cool? Anyway, verse 7, go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. That's why it's called Babel. It's called Babel because it sounds like Babel. And when you listen to some other people talk, it always sounds like, right? I mean, you go to Mexico or Puerto Rico, and it sounds like they're talking 90 miles an hour. And in some cases, in some languages, it sounds like everybody's mad all the time. It sounds like they are just angry. Go to a Chinese restaurant. Hear the cooks back there talking Chinese, and it just sounds like they're ticked off at everybody. And maybe they are. I don't know. But it's called Babel because it sounds like confusion of tongues. And by the way, that number 72 plays here. Because at this point, in Genesis 10, God has just enumerated the number of families. And there were exactly 72 families. 72 tribes of men. 72 races. Did you know that Osiris, the dying god, his coffin was being carried by 72 pallbearers? Now think about what I just said. The number 72 referencing the number of tribes of people on the earth. And that 72 bears the dead body of Osiris. And I think that it means that everybody on the earth, man, woman, child, red and yellow, black and white, that all of us bear a piece of Bel. Remember that verse we started out with? Bel is broken in pieces. Broken in thousands, or maybe just 72 pieces. Humpty Dumpty fell on the wall, or sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. The idea behind the mystery religion is that Babylon, Isis, the goddess, wants to be able to put Osiris' body parts back together again. Her goal is to collect and gather together all of his body parts so she can resurrect him back to life. And to think about it, how stupid the occult religion is, where mankind has to resurrect his God, whereas our God resurrected himself. Woo. Good. So, but anyway, back to the number 11. The number 11 represents chaos, confusion, confounding, not understanding, not knowing. Everything is shrouded. Everything is hidden, secretive, mystery, mystified, occulted. That's what the number 11 represents. I was going to look in the 11th chapter of the New Testament. That's the 11th chapter of the Old Testament. Genesis 11. 11th chapter of the New Testament is, it's Matthew 11. That's pretty easy, isn't it? To me, what's interesting is you have confusion in Matthew 11. Verse 2, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John does not know if it's really Jesus the Christ or not. Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So to me, there is an instant message there of confusion in the 11th chapter of the New Testament. Genesis 37, we have, look at this, I like this. This is the 11, the number 11 showing up, and confusion. Genesis 37:9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and he said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, if you take that then and run through this whole story of Joseph. Joseph at this time is 17 years old. Well, then we're told that at age 30, he's in prison. And Pharaoh brings him out of prison so that he can be in charge of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. So during the 7 years of plenty, Joseph is in charge. And at the end of the 7 years, now he's 37. 2 years into the famine, his brethren come, the 11. And they stand before Joseph, and Joseph is now 39 years old. And it's exactly 22 years from the time that Joseph gave this dream to them that the 11 would bow before him. And here are the 11 bowing before him. But they don't know who he is. Woo! Confusion. And Joseph is speaking to them in Egyptian, and he's got to have it in... They don't know what he's saying. They don't understand his language. But he understands theirs. He didn't forget Hebrew. He didn't forget the language of his fathers. So here's the 11. And they don't know who their own brother is. But at 22 years exactly, 22 years from the time Joseph dreamed this dream, and 22 is the number for revelation, right? Joseph looks at them and says, it is I, Joseph, be not afraid. How's our father doing? And he fell on every one of them and wept and kissed them and held them. Oh, I love that story. But that's the number 11 at work. Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You see the imagery here behind the number 11. They doubted. Mark 16:14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Anytime there's 11, there's confusion, there's chaos, there's doubt, there's unbelief. Luke 24:9, and returned from the sepulchre and told all those things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And look at verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Look at that. Look at your Bible. God will tell you what the number means. God will tell you that. It's God's word. Look at Acts chapter 1. The whole purpose of Pentecost was to give light to the Gentiles and confusion to Israel. It was the purpose of tongues. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now this is before Pentecost. And there are 11 disciples. Because Judas has hung himself. Verse 17 says, for he was numbered with us, and he obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. By the way, how did Judas die? He died the same way Deborah Palfrey died on May 1st. He died the same way that Quetzalcoatl died. He died the same way that the five kings died in Joshua 10. He died the same way that Odin died. He died being cursed, being called the son of perdition by Jesus. He died hanging from a tree. Are you catching this now? Now, without Judas, there's the number 11. All right? There's chaos and confusion and the dying God hanging from a tree. So, you look in verse 19 here, and is known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Think about what 11 means. Desolation, chaos, like the pit. And let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take, his office let another take. So in Acts 1:26, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. It's interesting that the Bible specifically calls them the 11, because now they're the 12 again, because Matthias has replaced Judas. Just like Ephraim replaces, who am I thinking of? Ephraim replaces Dan in Revelation 7. Dan is not listed among those who are sealed of the tribes of Israel. Ephraim took his place. Here Matthias took the place of Judas. So now there's 12 again. But it gives you that number 11, and it talks about the reason why there's chaos here, because of Judas, and his habitation is desolate. Now on the day of Pentecost, Peter standing up with the 11. And the whole idea behind this, again, is confusion to Israel. Lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken. Think of that in relation to chaos and confusion, right? These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. Well, some people, that don't matter. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And that was the purpose of Pentecost. Because if you look at the rest of Isaiah 28:11, verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the wayward to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. The Jews have precept and they have line and they have here a little, but they don't have upon precept, upon line, and there a little. They don't have that because they won't read the new covenant. And even when they read the old covenant, there's a veil over Moses' faith. They do not understand who that is. Chaos and confusion. That they might go and fall backward. Think about it. And be broken and snared and taken. So let's look at the number 11 as like the restoration of blah, 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 blah. Yet the 46 words that they said, the whole earth, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. The word conspiracy and conspirators is mentioned exactly 11 times in the King James Bible. Do you know what happens on November 11th at 11:11 a.m.? You're seeing it. It's called Armistice Day or Veterans Day. On this day that's commemorated, you have the five pillars here. They're supposed to represent the five branches of the armed forces. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. And on November 11th, which the 11th, November is the 11th month, and the 11th day, at the 11th hour, in the 11th minute, when the sun is shining, it shines through all five of these. It's the only day that it does this in its fullest extent. And whoever designed it was a genius, but look at the symbolism behind it. It's to commemorate the fact that on November 11th at 11 a.m., all the Germans laid down their guns and they stopped fighting. Think about it. Here's years that are divisible by 11, 1914. And significant things happening, 1936, 1947. What happens in 1947? It's the year Israel becomes a nation. 1958, 1969. Things happened in 1969, 1980, 1991, 2002. So this would be 2013, and then 11 years would be 2024, would be another year divisible by 11. Dates divisible by 11. February 2nd is the 33rd day of the year. April 20th, May 1st. April 20th, 110th day of the year. May 1st, 121st day of the year. December 7th is, I can't remember what day that is, what number day that is, but it's a divisible by 11. What happened on December the 7th? December the 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. On the 121st day of the year, cue the music. Adam Weishaupt, German Jesuit priest, formed a secret society called the Illuminati. The Illuminati. Why did he, and look at the date. There on the bottom of the pyramid of the Great Seal, 1776. That's the year that Adam Weishaupt formed the Illuminati. Why on the 121st day of the year? Why Beltane? Why did he pick that particular day that represents the fusion of the fourth kingdom and the seed of men? or the sacred marriage, the hieros gamos, the sacred marriage between Cernunnos, the horned god. Think about it. Revelation 13. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. So you know who Cernunnos is. It's the beast with 10 horns. A 10-point buck, as it were. And on this day, the two join together as one. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. When Mormons have a temple marriage ritual, the man and the woman, they're wearing a square and a compass on their holy underwear. I didn't make that up. They wear holy underwear. Stop it. They wear holy underwear. And they're not supposed to take it off either. Even for marriage, from what I've heard. Some never take it off. But it's got a square and compass on it that represents a circle and a square, represents opposites, things that cannot be fused together. They're being fused together. Why did Weishaupt pick this particular day, the day of Beltane, 121st day of the year? The real name of his secret society was not the Illuminati. That was the secondary name. The real name of his secret society was the Order of Perfectibilists. This is a scene from the movie The Circle. Tom Hanks represents like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and whoever ran Microsoft for years. This company called The Circle represents like Google, Microsoft, Apple, all rolled into one. In other words, they're collecting data on everybody and everything that everybody does. And he's got this young Emma Watson character, and he's seeing in her that he can bring her up through the ranks, that he can trust her. The higher up she gets, the more she sees, and he sits down and has a conversation with her. I watched this movie, and I knew when Tom Hanks' character said this, I knew what it was. What he told Emma Watson's character was, I believe in the perfectibility of all man. What he meant by that was, if you watch the movie, you get it. He, representing the three tech giants, Microsoft, Apple, and Google, he represents the technology world that he sees. Elon Musk sees it. Bill Gates, I'm sure, sees it. Hasn't spoken about it. Rick Kurzweil sees it. That at some point, we're going to merge humans with these machines. You might as well get ready for it. And when he said, I believe in the perfectibility of all mankind, he used that exact word. What he means is, man can become a god. He can become perfect. He can become a creature that he has redesigned himself and merged himself with cloud technology so that he knows everything. Man knows everything, can see everything, can hear everything. The perfectibility of man. And that's what Adam Weishaupt's group was called, the Order of Perfectibilists. But I guess it's hard to say in German, so he just said, Illuminati! That's easier! But the idea of the Order of Perfectibilists is a secret society of people who believe that man is evolving. He's going in levels. And every level that he achieves, he achieves more power, more control over his world. More intellect, a higher self-awakening, as it were. Do you see what I'm saying? Those of you old enough to remember 9/11, which, I mean, you think about it, man, 18 years has gone by now. Good night. That was 18. My son does not know about 9/11. He was born in 2003. He doesn't get it. And he asked me questions, and I'm just going, why is he asking me questions? Doesn't he remember? And I'm going, no, wait, he doesn't remember. He wasn't even born. 9/11, for those of us alive, was the worst day in modern American history. The world, the whole country stopped what it was doing. The whole country stopped. Airplanes came down out of the skies. No one flew for a week. Everything stopped on that day. It had the effect of taking our consciousness to a higher level. On September 10th, 2001, if you're going to try to convince people that the government needs powers to read your emails and listen to your cell phone calls and needs powers to feel your crotch at the airport, we say, no, we're not giving that power to the government. What are you, crazy? After September 11th, we hand it over willingly. Same thing with Pearl Harbor. Before December 7th, we're not going to get involved in the war. December 7th, we're in. And it's that type of change, that type of transformation. Every large event, Vegas shooting, Florida school shooting, assassination of presidents, moon landings, things like that, they all have the effect of changing our consciousness. Our consciousness, that's what I'm trying to say. Changing our perception, our awareness of things. It's taking us on higher levels, as it were. Every time some event happens, it baptizes us in the fires of ritualism and evolution. Here's something interesting. The very first man in the whole world, in the Bible, that received a mark was Cain. And that's in Genesis 4. The number 4 will represent the Gospels. And there's a picture of the Gospels here. And it'll represent spiritual realm. So, Genesis 4, verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God's saying, Cain, it's that simple. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. I underlined the exact words that God spoke to Cain. In Genesis 4, 121 words exactly. 11 times 11. And Cain has a mark now. Cain has a mark. Think about it. And God said, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. So think about 121 words, 11 times 11, spoken to Cain. Cain's got a mark on him. The number 11 is a reference to the beast and his kingdom. A kingdom of confusion, a kingdom of not knowing, a kingdom of mystery Babylon. The European Union seeks to restore the unfinished work of the Tower of Babel. Europe, many tongues, one voice, What is that a reference to? It is a direct reference to Genesis 11. The image in the background is the Tower of Babel. And there are, let's count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 stars on here. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, by the way, the tower is being built with bricks. Look at who the bricks are. The bricks are the people. Think about it, people. This tower, a pyramid, as it were, a ziggurat. No, I didn't say cigarette. A ziggurat was their ancient temples of worship. And the people are the bricks that make that temple. We are the temple of the living God. Mankind is going to become the temple, the tower, the pyramid of Babel, the body or the temple of the Antichrist himself. All of humanity who accepts the mark, they become the dwelling place of the Antichrist. Because the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Let's look at the birth of the European Union. Following this number 11, 1914, a multiple of the number 11, World War I. You see, what happened is, we're starting with these world wars, we're destroying the monarchy in all of these nations in Europe. They were all ruled by monarchs in the 1800s. The 1900s, with World War I, World War II, we're throwing the monarchs out. 1947, 33 years later, after the wars won, the Marshall Plan was instituted. That was the plan to rebuild Europe. 1958, the European Union is officially formed. The common currency is planned. 1958, and these are all multiples of 11. 1958 is divisible evenly by the number 11. So 1914, 33 years later, the Marshall Plan, 11 years later, the European Union. 2002, 44 years later, the euro becomes the currency in all European nations. Dun, dun, dun. Do you see a pattern? You see a pattern of dates, of times? Do you see a pattern? Here, they built in Strasbourg, France, the European Union Parliament building. That looks exactly like the Tower of Babel. In fact, it was designed that way. They wrote an article called The Tower of Euro Babel. This is the guy that designed it in Strasbourg. Wanted it to look like the unfinished Tower of Babel. And that's what they published. Plans were submitted in 1991. It has exactly 1,133 offices in it. Number of languages spoken, 11. Exactly. 11 languages. Official languages spoken is 11. They said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. In 1958, that year is a multiple of 11. NASA was formed by an act of Congress. And exactly 11 years later, this happened. Oh, you don't believe that? You say it's not possible? God said it was. God said that they were going to do it. God saw it happening and said this in Amos 9. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar and said, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake, cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Obadiah, in the very next page, Obadiah 1, verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle. Look at it. And though thou set thy nest among the stars. What's he got in his hand? Branch. What's he doing with it? Building a nest among the stars. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. You see, God is the one who saw man dwelling in the heavens among. I get a notification on my watch. The local weatherman will do this too. If the International Space Station is going to be doing a flyover, I've got an app that notifies me. And if it's a clear night, I will go out with a pair of binoculars is all I need. And I watch as the International Space Station goes directly over, and I can see it moving up there. Don't tell me it's not there. I've seen it with my own two binocular eyes moving. It's the nest that we built among the stars, people. It matches perfectly what God said and how God said it. So, here we are following this plan. 1958, NASA formed. 11 years later, we sent the Columbia, putting the Eagle on the moon. You know, Tranquility Base, here the Eagle has landed. Here's what Nixon said. He called those guys. He said, because of what you, longest long-distance phone call ever, call the moon. Because of what you've done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. Look at that. That is Daniel chapter 2. The heavens becoming part of man's world. As you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it expires us. Redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to the earth. Blah, 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 New World Order stuff, right? Oh, but in the 1969, that year divisible by 11. That's the year we did this. 1969. So here's the Eagles singing a song, Hotel California. The song says, and I asked the lady, please bring me my wine. She said, we haven't had that spirit here since 1969. Why that year? 1969 was when Anton Sandor LaVey created the First Church of Satan on California Street, San Francisco, California, 1969. 11 years. Oh, by the way, the song, This is the Dawning of the Age of Aquarius, released in 1969. And Aquarius is the 11th zodiac out of the 12 zodiac signs. Aquarius is designated as number 11. Da, da, da. So 11 years later, from 1969, 1980, that's when Marilyn Ferguson wrote the Aquarian Conspiracy and used that triquetra. Oh, by the way, the New King James Version came out, 1980. Same symbol on it. 11 years later, George Bush says, it's a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause. Only the United States has both the moral standing and the means to back it up. I mean, he gets right out and says, 11 years later, we're bringing in a new world order.
Novus Ordo Seclorum,
associated with the number 11. Look at Isaiah 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Micah 2:11. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. All three of these verses associated with the same number, and they're all talking about deception. Or people deceiving. The phrase strong drink is mentioned 22 times in the Bible. That's 11 times 2. And strong drink, let me give you a verse. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So why does Rodney Howard Brown and Kenneth Copeland and all these other Illuminati televangelists, why are they going around telling everybody to be drunk? Where in the Bible does it say that we should be drunk? Or that when we're full of the Spirit, that we are drunk and mad out of our minds because of the Spirit? Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't. Well, Mike, not everything that God does is in the Bible. Well, where is that in the Bible? It's not there. See? God wants you to know that, but it's not in the Bible. And my response is, if it's not in the Bible, I don't know it. If I don't read it, I'm not buying it. Not for a second. I'm not falling for it. Not for a microsecond I'm falling for it. Well, maybe for a second I might fall for it. Then I get back up and say, you know what? That was stupid. That's not what the Bible says. But the number 11 for confusion. Now we're going to look at Revelation 9. I'm going to close with this. Revelation 9, you have the fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Remember what five things Lucifer said. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Is this angel, the star that fell from heaven, is that Lucifer? That's my big question. I think yes. Now, you can disagree with me. And I'm okay with that. But I think the language of the Bible is telling you, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. By the way, people, there are preachers, there are songwriters, there are all kinds of people who in their sermons and their teachings and in their songs tell you that when Jesus died and he went to the lower parts of the earth, that he reclaimed the keys from Satan. Where's that in the Bible? It's not there. I looked. I checked. Somebody, I don't know where it comes from, that Satan originally had the keys to hell and the kingdom and all this stuff, and Jesus went and took them from him. I don't know where that came from. It did not come from the Bible. I think it's a setup. I'm not sure what for, but I think it's a setup. What we know for sure is that Jesus is the one who has the keys. And according to the Bible, he's the only one that ever had the keys. The only one. And at this point, he gives the key of the bottomless pit to the star that falls. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose the smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, like the Beltane fires. The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now watch this. The word chaos. The word chaos literally means gaping void or empty, immeasurable space. Directly from the Latin chaos, which is from the Greek chaos, which means abyss. dun, dun, dun. The phrase ordo ab caeo. Order out of the abyss. Job 10:22 says, a land of darkness has darkness itself and of the shadow of death without any order. And where the light is, there's darkness. Do you see? Oh, look at that. Think about that. The land without any order is the pit. It's chaos. The literal interpretation of ordo caeo is not necessarily order out of chaos, but order coming up out of the pit where there is no order. A place where light is as darkness. You see how the opposites are joined together? Man. By the way, there are exactly 11 descriptions of the creatures that come up out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9. The shape of the locusts were like unto horses. They had on their heads crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had the hair as hair of women. That's opposites. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had the breastplates of iron. They had the sound of their wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And, number 11, they had a king over them. Bam, bam, bam. Which is the king of chaos. The king of disorder. The angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Both of them mean the destroyer. And so now we see his name associated with the number 11. Or the beast himself associated with that number, the number 11. And his kingdom associated with the number 11. Chaos, as it were. That's a long trip we took today. But you understand now why Adam Weishaupt picked this day. The spirits guided him, nudged him, provoked him, put it in his mind. 121st day of the year, 11 times 11. God speaking 121 words to Cain in the King James Bible. Oh, by the way, let's form the Illuminati today. Can we get it done by the, can we get the paperwork filed by this afternoon that we get it in on May 1st? Because it represents the kingdom of hell itself coming to this earth. And there's things happening with these little signatures all over the place. And they're telling you this is what these devils are doing. They're doing it to bring in ordo ab caeo. Hey, did you remember that our Bible conference, the Midwest Bible Conference, starts tomorrow? Yay! 7 p.m. Chris Pinto's getting off an airplane tomorrow. He's coming down to Festus, Missouri. He will be speaking Wednesday night, tomorrow night. So will I. Thursday night, Pastor Reg Kelly and Chris Pinto. Friday night, yours truly, Pastor Mike and Chris Pinto. Once again, we're excited to bring this to you. I hope that you've made arrangements and you're coming here to Bethel, because we'd love to see you here. All right? God bless you. I love you. Think Bible. All day long, think Bible.